Sunday. Happy Sunday. Yeah. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Happy Sunday. Good morning, good morning, good morning. We'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. Before we get into the word this morning, I want to go ahead and get a seat in your hand. Mrs. Penn comes forward and goes through our announcements. I got your paper right here. All right, in my sanitized fingers. All right, all right. So go ahead and get a seat in your hand and we'll proceed on with the service. God bless you.
At 1 p.m., there is a core meeting in the conference room. So, core leaders, you know who you are. We will be having a meeting after service today. And if you are available after service today, there is an outreach opportunity available. Community Hunger Project in Longwood will be hosting Feeding Children Everywhere. And this event consists of packing meals for basically full cart bags for those who are in need. So if you have about 1 hour, it's in 1 hour increments. So if you have about 1 hour of time today, make sure that you stop by and volunteer your time. Amen? Because we're blessed to be a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And if you need more information about that, please see Sister Latoya Lewis after service. Please raise your hand so that everybody will know who you are. So if you're available for that, please volunteer. Next Sunday, February 17th, we'll have a new membership class. So if anyone is interested in being a member or has been a member and needs a little bit of an update, then make sure that you come to the new membership class this Sunday after service, next Sunday after service, 17th, okay? All right. And so then also on Friday, February 22nd, at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Divine Truth will host Let's Talk Friday. It's an open dialogue on race, and it will be held in the Empower Community Center right here next door. And if you need more information about this awesome event that's going to be bringing together the whole community, we hope to see you there as well. Please see Sister Kile Mara. You raise your hand for that. Okay, so for this event, please see Sister Kile Mara. Also, on Saturday, February 23rd at 9:30 a.m., have another community outreach event that's coming up, and it will be held at the Boys Town Shelter of Central Florida in Oviedo, Florida. We will be providing lunch for boys and girls that have been placed in the shelter for various reasons, and we are in need of volunteers to help cook, serve, and donate items. The menu is barbecue chicken, baked beans, potato salad, and drinks. And if you are interested in assisting in this awesome opportunity to be a blessing to the community, please once again see Sister Latoya Lewis. Okay? Everybody got it?
Yeah.
Make sure you're not going too fast. Make sure you get it. All right. So then next up, on Sunday, February 24th, during service, we're going to be having a child dedication ceremony. So parents, if you have already received the information, your homework is due today. Your homework is due today. So you should know what that homework is. If you're unsure or if you have not gotten a chance to complete the information, then make sure that you see Lady Martin after service. And this is for anyone who would like to dedicate their child back to the Lord. And we have a whole packet of information for you. It's not anything strange. It's biblical. Amen. All right. Y'all so quiet. Okay. it is biblical. So just make sure you see Lady Martin if you need more information. And also that same Sunday, February 24th, after service, we will be having a new membership VIP luncheon for all of the new members who have joined so far this year. Okay? So that's on the 24th of February. Please save the date, because on March 9th at 9 a.m., we will be visiting with Rivers of Living Water Ministry, and they are having a Power of Prayer breakfast. And trust me when I tell you, it was awesome last year. Awesome, 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 awesome. Some of the things that were prophesied last year are happening this year, even in my life. I was there, you guys. I'm a witness. It's an awesome event, okay? So make sure that if you are available on March 9th, that you get your ticket. It begins at 9 a.m. and it's right down the road here at the Sanford Civic Center. So that's about 20 minutes away from here. So make sure you get your tickets. They are $13 for adults and $8 for children between the ages of 6 and 12. So if your child is under 6, you're free. They're free. Not you, but your child is free. Okay. And for more information about that, you can see Sister Alicia Winsley. She is collecting money for the tickets now until February 17th. So make sure that you give your money to her by February 17th so that you'll have your ticket and you'll have your space reserved. Because trust me, space is limited. So if you don't get your ticket today, you might not be able to get it tomorrow. So make sure that you get it today. And then also, on March 20th through March 22nd, Covenant Fellowship Spring Conference is going to be held in Jacksonville, Florida, and it is hosted by the Potter's House International Ministries and Covenant Fellowship International. Once again, it's in Jacksonville, Florida, and we're going to be celebrating Bishop McLaughlin's 20 years in office as bishop and 20 years of the Covenant Fellowship International organization. So everyone is invited to attend. It's not just for pastors, it's not just for leaders, but it's for everyone. And trust me, you will be blessed. Amen. Also, we have our blessing bags available in the lobby area, so make sure that you pick up a few so that you can hand them out to any homeless people that you may see along the road. Another outreach event, so if you're not able to attend the first two that I spoke of, you can definitely pick up a bag, and if you see someone that is in need, just give them a blessing bag. It consists of a bottle of water, deodorant, there's soap, there's rags, there's towels, and all those types of things. And just a little baggie. So that way, you know, when you're going down the road, you see someone who is in need, you don't feel bad because you don't have anything to give them. You know what? We provide you something that you can give to someone who is in need. Amen. Amen. And then our family room is available across the hall. It's in our conference room. For any parents who need to tend to their children, and then you'll also be able to enjoy the service as well. So if your children are a little happy today, I'll say that, a little happy, like sometimes my daughter is, then the conference room is available next door. The snack shack will be open today in the lobby area as well, so make sure you stop by, get your hot food and cold beverages. Truth Learning Academy is still taking enrollment, so if you have any children that would be able to attend our daycare, this is our church business, make sure that you bring them along, or on the outside in the lobby area, there are business cards. So if you happen to see someone who has a child, give them a business card. You never know. They may say, oh, I already have a daycare, but you know what? They may know someone else who is in either child care, or they may not even like their daycare. So make sure that you spread the word. We're going to spread the word. Finally, last announcement, tax receipts. Tax receipts are available now until February 15th. Somebody say February 15th. All right, y'all still with me. Okay, so tax receipts are available until February 15th. Make sure that you send your request for your tax receipt to finance@divinetruthcc.org. Okay, so then we can make sure that you get everything that you need to file your taxes. Amen? Amen.
Yeah.
All right, and I think that's a great time to transition to the time of giving.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is time to give. Hallelujah. So I know that you have your seed in your hand. Are you ready to give?
Yeah.
I said, are you ready to give?
Yeah.
Awesome. We have three ways for you to give. You can give through the kiosk in the back, or since Yolanda has envelopes, if you need an envelope, please raise your hand. And then the third way that you can give is online. If you go to www.divinetruthcc.org, then you can just click on the give button. That's for all those people who are online watching. Good morning. You can give online as well. All right? Amen. Come on and put your hands together as we get ready to give.
I say, yeah, 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 we are.
God is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Thank you so much, singers. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we praise you, we honor you. We lift up your holy name in this place today. Amen, amen, amen. We would like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We honor you, Lord God. We bless your holy name. We thank you for your kindness, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, Lord God, for your peace and for your faithfulness. Lord God, help me now as we wade into a difficult topic that's going on in this nation that's been going on for quite some time, but seems to have come to a head. Give us clarity. Give us understanding. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. 9, 10, and 11, please. That should be automatic every time. Amen. This morning, scripture is going to come from out of Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Colossians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Lord, help me. Verse 1 says, do we have it on the screen? All right. Verse 1 says, and once again, this is in Colossians chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. It says, masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, a servant of Jesus Christ, a bondservant. Verse 4 says, that I may make it clear in the way that I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders or unsaved people, making most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant in the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number. That's key. They will inform you about the whole situation here. Amen. And the title of this morning's message, might as well go ahead and get into it. The love you give. The love you give. Father, help me now. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. In about 57 AD, Paul sent two men with a letter to a church in Colossae, which consisted of people from all walks of life, rich, poor, old, young, and yes, masters as well as slaves. Before I continue, I need to make it known that the words master and slave, thank you very much, do carry a negative connotation, especially in regards to the awful history of this nation and its treatment of people of color during and after the transatlantic slave trade. Good morning. Good morning. However, this, or the topic that I'm speaking of today, is not that. Let me educate you just for a moment. You must understand that chattel slavery, the one that we are familiar with in the United States, is not the same thing as what I'm speaking of. Here, chattel slavery, born in the fires of hatred and racism, were not in consideration among the Greeks and Romans of that time. America was not even a nation. America is only about 240 years old. So the slaves mentioned in this proper context means indentured servitude, which was voluntary and common around the world. Matter of fact, it even goes on today. It's called being an employee. How many of y'all got to go to work on Monday? Because if you don't work, you don't. So for a means of survival, you have to lend your skills, talents, and abilities to someone or some company. We'd like to welcome you to Divine Truth Christian Center, where God wants your dreams and visions realized. So we see the difference between the two. So all of the memes that you see on Facebook, all of the different photographs of you know, this particular religion belongs to this particular people, the indigenous, and all this stuff, you need to understand that there's a difference between the two. Okay. However, the similarities of people who are in need of compassion, justice, and equality in the eyes of God is both undeniable and relevant in our modern era. As we gently pivot back to today's message, after I gave you that monologue of the difference between indentured servitude and chattel slavery, one from the ancient world and one from our contemporary time, we have two fellow workers of the gospel, Onesimus, Tychicus. They, at the reading of the opening scripture, is actually Paul giving the message. Those two gentlemen are actually on their way from Rome, where Paul is rotting away in prison, carrying a message bearing a gentleman named Philemon's name. That same letter, whose contents you heard in the opening scripture this morning, is speaking to a congregation where Philemon was a member. This Philemon was a master, a slave, master, an employer, the boss man. Onesimus was one of the number. So this same message was being sent by Tychicus as well as Onesimus so that they could share the good news of Jesus Christ to Philemon and all of the members of the church in Colossae. So this kind of brings us to our contemporary time of how you could have somebody that owned slaves and still be a part of a church. Y'all all right? But the message is still full of integrity. The good news of Jesus Christ, that was the message, and also how to conduct themselves as people of the way. Listen to the rest of the letter as addressed to Philemon and the church of Colossae. In Philemon chapter 1, verses 4 through the 11th verse, and this is in the NASB version, you'll hear Paul admonish Philemon because he knows his history, he knows his background, he knows what's going on in his life. He knows that he has a certain worldview. But there is something different about Philemon because his occupation from yesteryear has now had a different element because he's saved. Verse 4 says, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith with which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love. Look at that. Because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. So here Paul is speaking to Philemon and encouraging him in his new life as a believer. A man that once owned slaves but now is saved. And now is being admonished to do or have other transformations in his life. So yes, he was the owner of slaves, but now his heart was transformed and converted by the gospel. His once superior position in the world has now come under submission to Jesus Christ, his new master and savior. Verse 8 says, therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper. In other words, I helped bring you the gospel. I saved you. I beget you. I was your spiritual father. In other words, I could tell you what to do because I planted that church in Colossae, the same one that you're a part of. I could tell you what to do. I could write you a bishop type of encyclical or a message telling you that you must do this. That's what verse 8 means. But let's look at verse 9. Notice how he gives a little bit of a caveat. Verse 9 says, yet for love's sake, I don't want you to do this particular thing that I'm going to introduce to you based on religion or because I told you. I don't want you to just let folk go because I told you. I don't want you to emancipate this particular individual because I told you. Do it for love. Love's sake. So upon that, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul, the aged and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Notice the parallel. Notice what the appealing is towards. His better nature, not his sin nature. His God nature, his Christ nature. The appealing is going towards love and not because I told you so. Verse 10 says, I appeal to you for my child. Watch this. Onesimus. Now, this is not a literal child. It's just that Paul, watch this, not only brought the slave master to Jesus Christ, but he also brought the slave to Jesus Christ. Onesimus used to belong to Philemon. And now they are both saved. And what are we going to do about this? We have two different individuals in the same nation that have different perspectives, and now all of a sudden they are both saved. What do we do with this? Oh, it gets better. He says, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. So while Paul was in prison, he brought Onesimus to Jesus Christ. Verse 11 says, who formerly was, watch this, useless to you. He meant nothing to you, but now is useful because of the gospel to both you and me. Look at that. You see, people of God, this is where the plot thickens, because Onesimus was once a slave, as I said before, that belonged to Philemon. And the circumstances of their separation makes their reunion more complicated, because the both of them, before meeting Jesus, did not love one another. They didn't love one another. It was a transaction. You do what I tell you to do. I'm going to submit my life to you because I'm trying to eat. I'm trying to survive. This is a business transaction. This is a business relationship. You just do what I tell you to do. I'm going to serve you. We don't have to get any type of personal level. We don't even have to conversate. Many times you avoid your boss. You go to lunch for 35, 45, 55, 65, 75 minutes, all because you're just trying to make it to the next day. However, I want you all to remember that when God wants to use you, you no longer are useless. Onesimus was useless to Philemon, and I'm pretty sure that Onesimus probably figured that Philemon was useless to him. I'm in a different land. I got different things that are going on. I got new opportunities, new people that are surrounding me. And I no longer have to deal with you on that level any longer. My spiritual father, Paul, took care of me. I'm good. But let's go deeper. In Philemon, verses chapter 1, verse 12 through 21, let's break down the scriptures a little bit more. Verse 12 says, I have sent him back to you, talking to Philemon here. This is Paul talking to Philemon. He says, I have sent him, being Onesimus, back to you in person. That is, sending my very heart. Look at that. Whom I wish to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. In other words, the student has now become the teacher. But verse 14, Paul also understands the culture of the times. It says in verse 14, but without your consent, I did not want to do anything, so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. In other words, I'm sending one of your former slaves back to you. Now, because I know that you're saved now, I don't want you to take him back just because I told him, or I'm telling you so. I don't want you to just come to church because Pastor Martin told you so. I don't want you to just come into the house of the Lord because mama and daddy and them drug you here, and now you just like, oh God, when is this going to be over? Oh God. Why don't you listen for a moment? consider what is being said. Consider what is being taught and see how it could apply to your life. Maybe, just maybe, that person that is anti-Christian, pro-white or pro-black that's on your timeline, that's saying all these type of words, maybe, just maybe, you'll have something that you could possibly say to them that could change their mind. Verse 15 says, "For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while." He didn't want to be around that anymore. "That you would have him back forever." In other words, if he came back to you, he owes you something. And it gets even deeper, because little do you know, Onesimus not only left you, but he left with some of your possessions. In other words, he stole from the man. Oh, that's going to get on to something deeper. So verse 16 gives us the other caveat. Paul says that the nature of you all's relationship has changed because Jesus Christ is now in the picture. "No longer a slave, but more than a slave. A beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." Imagine that you are Philemon, and one of your employees stole goods from you, which carried the penalty of death by Roman crucifixion. And upon your word, you had the power and quote unquote privilege to use. You could call some Roman soldiers and say, "Seize him. He stole something from me. Off with his head. String him up into the rafters. Put him up on the cross like those other two thieves." Remember, there was two thieves, one on the right hand of Jesus and one on the left hand of Jesus. So this particular situation happened only about 57 years later. So the custom in Roman culture was still to execute people that stole from other individuals. So imagine Philemon's mindset. Now imagine that you are Onesimus, who escaped from being in a hopeless and dire situation. No rights, no equality, just do as I say, not as I do. And now you are being told to go back to that same individual who controlled your life. See, when you say that you are now becoming a servant to someone, usually you have to do a minimum of a year. During that year, you pay off your debts that you may owe to some other people. And then at the end of that year, or at the time of Jubilee, all of the indentured servants can say, "Now I am free." But this was not the year of Jubilee. Onesimus stole something from his master and fled. And now we both are saved. And now our spiritual father is saying, "Y'all need to talk to each other." Two different sides of the spectrum, two different worlds on a collision course with each other. The unstoppable force and the immovable object. Now picture that the both of you are being compelled by the love of God to overcome your differences, because you are saved by Jesus Christ, which has made you equal at the foot of the cross. See, in this world, I'll get in my head of myself. Verse 17, if then, this is Paul talking, "you regard me a partner," because he keeps on appealing to him, because he knows that just because you are saved doesn't mean that the old you is not still there. "This is my livelihood. I got paid for doing this. I have stature in this particular community because of the connections that I have, because of the employees, because of the slaves that I have. I have clout." "And now that I'm saved, I'm no longer seen as above, but on equal footing. Part of me can still say, even as a person who claims to be a Christian, 'Off with your head. God will forgive me for it later.' And as a slave, I could stay away and I could become embittered and just continue to wallow in victimhood. Amen, lights. Amen, lights. So verse 17 says, if you then regard me a partner, accept him as you would me. If you say that you love Jesus and that's enough, then why not use that love as a point of reconciliation between the two? Why don't you that come from two different worlds come together and now use Jesus Christ as the common theme within your life? However, Paul says in verse 18, but if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Look at that. There's a strategy here. There's a strategy here. There's great wisdom because Paul is even showing the leaders, the political leaders, the very elect today on how to deal with stuff. Some could say, eisegetically speaking in error, that this is a form of reparations. But this is not that. This is not that. Matter of fact, the great wisdom is really in his approach. That can be used today because the letter is not addressed to the fugitive Onesimus, but directed to the one who had more power, more privilege, and influence. Not only that, it isn't Onesimus who is making the appeal. It is Paul who is in the position of authority as a Hebrew. Not only as a Hebrew, but a Roman citizen. Not only as a Roman citizen, but also as a spiritual father to whom both men can credit their introduction to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, they had credibility on both sides. Not just credibility with one side. You can have all the credibility inside of your neighborhood, but then if you go to another neighborhood, nobody don't know you over here. You could be an uptown baby, and then you could go to 10th Street in Jacksonville, Florida, and Uptown Baby is not going to help you down there. I promise you that. But what if you have credibility in both areas because of the work that you have done in both areas? In other words, there has to be a meeting ground. So I think that those of us that know the Lord need to use Jesus Christ as our banner in order to bridge the divide. Amen. Amen. There's great wisdom here. This also lets me know that people who are in positions of influence and authority can turn the tide of this toxic culture. Not just any leaders, but those who have a heart for God above all things. Yes, I understand that you have a specific conservative ideology and you have Fox News running through your veins. However, what does God say? I understand that you watch Don Lemon and Brother Como and all these other individuals and Rachel on MSNBC. However, what does God say? Both sides have their favorite channels. Both sides could be inside of a bubble. Both sides are actually responsible for the divide. It's not about working with each other. It's about who can conquer one another. And last time I checked, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Verse 19 says, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I'm almost done. I will repay it. In other words, if the person owes you something, I want to make sure that your ears are not clogged when you see the individual again. Because sometimes people can't hear you based on where they come from and based on what has happened in the past. I like watching all this stuff like a movie screen. I see it every 4 years, every 2 years. I see these two sides coming together. One group doesn't want to talk to one group because of a certain type of ideology. All Republicans are racist. I can't hear you. Nobody can change. Everybody on the Democratic side is killing babies. Can't hear you. Got nothing to say. But I believe that
These are examples in the extreme, and most people want peace and prosperity and comfort, and just to, in my Rodney King voice, just want to get along. Can't we all get along? Do we have to have another Charlottesville? Do we have to have another Charleston, where an individual comes into the midst of a church like this, where everybody's trying to worship God, and then in the back of your head you feel a pierce, and now you're in heaven? So Paul says, I'm writing this with my own hand. I will repay the debt. The reason why that display of love is so important is because when Christ died for our sins, he paid the debt, so that we can now be in a position of forgiveness. Not only in a position of forgiveness, but we can also move towards forgetting and not holding the past and bring it into the future. So as we move closer to the end of this, repeating verse 19, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand, and I will repay it, not to mention to you that owe to me, even your own self as well. Yes, brother, he keeps on saying, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. In other words, your occupation has nothing to do with your salvation. Where you come from, what you look like, how much money you have in your pocket. Because last time I checked, would you die? You got the same amount of money as me. When I die, nothing. Naked I came into this world, naked I shall go. Unless you got silicone things there, then there's going to be a skeleton, and it's going to be two bags on the top and two bags on the bottom. I wanted to lighten the mood a little bit, because this has been such a very intense topic. But the reason why I can pivot and dance around with it and also bring and elicit smiles is because it's done in love. See, when you share the truth in love, you don't have to tear somebody down from the crown of their head down to the sole of their feet. Amen. This morning was not going to be a bashing session. This morning was me as a up-and-coming pillar of the community being able to dance on both sides, being a chaplain and in the hood at the same time. Being able to ballroom dance with the mayor and being able to whip and nae-nae. Not selling out to either side, but trying to bridge the gap. So as we move closer to our first event on February the 22nd, that's a plug, I am the plug, y'all, that discusses the sensitive topic of racism in America, I must say that for all the talk and policies that have been implemented over the last 50 or so years, even beyond that, going all the way back to the Emancipation Proclamation, even beyond that, all the way to the year 1410, when all this stuff started happening between the Portuguese, the Arabs, and the Africans, I believe that if you don't follow Jesus and the second commandment that places all people on the same level of footing, we're not going to get any further. What is this second commandment? Well, let me give you the first one. And Jesus talked about this so plainly. It's the same as the first commandment inside of the Old Testament. It says to love God, put God first. God over everything. God over money. God over family. God over children. God over yourself. Put God first. In other words, love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. To even when you have your prejudices starting bubbling to the surface because you're walking in the middle of the night and people start clutching their purse. Or you start tensing up when the lights start flashing in the back, knowing good well you're driving on the suspended license. You talk about some, what you doing? They done ran your tag. That's the reason why they're behind you. And if you got warrants, they're going to turn on the lights. If they don't have any warrants, they're going to turn off. Nine times out of ten. If you slow down really fast, now I mean, that's just my experience, and that's another matter altogether. But it's related to this one. So you got to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all of your strength. As it was today, it's the same in yesteryear. But then there's the second one. The one that is notoriously elusive to the common public. And that is to love your neighbor as you would yourself. Sheila and them might be next door, but I'm talking about the folk that are across the street that got a pontoon boat in the front of their yard. And they got fatigue jackets with antlers. Some of the most kindest people when I was working in DeLand as a computer networking instructor many, 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 many years ago, some of the most kindest people were what folk would call rednecks. Sometimes they were nicer to me, no disrespect, than black folk. That's another matter altogether. Boy, I tell you. I don't know, do we? Should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I? I have found out that when people have love in their hearts, they'll support you and they won't just stare at you. Sometimes people in my own community will stare and wait until everything blows up. Then they'll come. But not during the beginning stages. And sometimes those that look so different from you will pour into you. That's been my experience. Some of that's toxic. Some of that is because of things in the past. Other times it's just because people don't see the call on your life and they don't understand. And my prayer is that the people that are part of this ministry, even as a visitor, that you do see something different and not just see a person standing in front of you wasting your time for 45 minutes. Well, you could watch Hulu for about 3 hours. So, as I close, this second commandment spoken by Jesus, which places all people equally at the foot of the cross, you're going to have two things that's going to come to the surface. Number one, you're going to have one group that won't forgive and despite the progress made will continue to live as victims with no personal accountability. I see people on my timeline that are perpetually angry, perpetually complaining, perpetually talking about this particular group or that particular group, talking about this type of power versus that type of power. In other words, it's aggression, and now we have splinter groups, and we have cults like the Black Hebrew Israelites and this particular type of nation, the resurgence of the Black Panther group, and all these groups are coming together just like they did at Covington. We have young people with Make America Great Again hats on. And then you have on another side, you have indigenous people or the Indians. And then to the media, it makes for good television to have the man going up against the oppressed. Wherein behind the scenes, it was actually some Black Hebrew Israelites that were spewing out hatred and stoked the flames for the conflict. And then when it didn't fit the narrative, it just disappeared from off of social media. So it sounds to me that there is also a common theme, and that is the devil. Because the devil doesn't take sides. He's trying to destroy everything that is after the image and likeness of God. So yes, you do have that one group, but then you have the same type of problem with the other group. Because the other group won't let anyone forget. You got a lot of people that are trying to move on. They are trying to use this knowledge and skills and abilities. They are trying to go to college. They would like to go to Harvard and Yale and Princeton and not be looked at differently. If I do put in my application, if I do roll up on the side of you in my Jag, then you won't do this. And look straight ahead. You might just say good morning. Sometimes the other group won't let anybody forget because of a culture that ignorantly celebrates that same painful past through institutionalized racism. In other words, it's normal to some people to do blackface. It's normal to call people of color monkeys and dress up young people in insulting type of things. It's insulting for individuals to have Prada or a Gucci or other different types of clothing that looks like Sambo. But you call it art. We want to move ahead. And we want to forget the past, but don't keep on reminding me of it. If you want us to heal, then there has to be a synergy between the both of them. One has to forgive, and the other one has to forget and not remind. Isn't that good, even between us in this place today? Things have happened, but one has to forgive. And the other one should not do it again. Oh, Lord. I believe, come on, stand to your feet. I'm done. I even believe sometimes when people come to a church like this, they have this preconceived notion that you're going to be in church all day until 3 o'clock in the evening. Because that's what you saw online. And that's how you grew up. So everybody has their own prejudices. Preacher got to be taking somebody money. And that's why I believe that conversations like the one that's happening on the 22nd here at this particular place with people from the community is so important. Let's just have a conversation. I'm sorry, government can't do it. And Paul alluded to that. Paul said, yes, I could make you, but how about leading with love instead? Because when you make people or you pass policies that try to put everybody on equal footing, guess what ends up happening? The real prejudice that's on the inside of people's hearts seeps through the bars and seeps through the cracks into the next generation, into the next generation. So policies is not going to work. It only places a mask over the pride that is within our hearts. That refuses to obey God. So if you truly love Jesus, your identity does not come through political liberalism or Protestant conservatism, but through the gospel as demonstrated through the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control, kindness, responding with a gentle word, being faithful, being consistent, having integrity, showing love, even when love is not showing or being shown to you. Remember, people of God, the debt has been paid, not by Paul, but by our Heavenly Father through the blood of Jesus Christ, so that those who are saved are no longer slaves, watch this, to sin, which is the root of it all. Be it racism, sexism, blank phobia, whatever it is, all of that is rooted in sin. But the good news is that because we have a Savior and we are born again, we can be brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. We honor you. We thank you, Lord God, for this message. We thank you, Lord God, for the hearers, but not only the hearers, but those that are going to be the doers. We thank you, Lord God, for even those that are watching online at this hour. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that some individual in this place, at least one person, one individual, man or woman, old or young, has been touched, sees life in a different perspective. I pray, Heavenly Father, that we recognize that we're all equal at the foot of the cross. And though we may have a struggle in whatever particular area, whether it be lust in ourselves or the pride of life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, whatever area that we may be weak in, Heavenly Father, we just thank God for the struggle. For it's easier to struggle with you than without you. We love you, Lord God, and we honor you. We bless your holy name. I thank you for these, your people, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people in this world that have a lot of hate to give. But I believe it's about the love you give. Amen. This picture just struck out at me because even in that most explosive moment, a couple of months ago, you have brothers that are coming together, embracing one another from two different spectrums. They're willing to put aside their differences and try to find some common ground. It may be as simple as a hug. And out of that, who knows what lives have been transformed? That's the point. That's the key. That's the issue. So yeah, you could stay mad. And you could put an African flag 15 times down your timeline. If you do not have love, you're not going to make it any further. You can stay mad and you can have 1,500 Confederate flags. You can have a hood in the back of your trunk. But without love, it still doesn't mean anything. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God wants you to love. Be blessed, people of God.